This morning we talked about patience and had some pretty good conversations and with people, and thanks for that. And Zach feeling like we need to sing more about that. Thanks for that, Zach. So tonight we're going to talk about something else, but we need to start here because it's still based on this. And we get to finally read Hebrews 10. So the word we looked at most this morning, hypomeno, to remain, not to recede or flee, to be permanent, stand one's ground, to stand firm. That's the word that's used in 2 Peter with perseverance. Some of your Bibles might say endurance. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 32. Remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Everyone sees endurance and patience here so far, right? For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, there's one of those other family of words, shrinks back. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. We didn't talk at all about faith this morning. I think it came up in one of the verses we looked at. Yeah, in James 2, maybe another one. But I want to start tonight and kind of build on this idea. That's why I was designed to finish this morning where it is, to start here with faith. That it's not just about perseverance. It's not just about endurance. It's not about just bearing up. All that's got to be built on something. Again, verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. It's almost as if faith is what's required to have true perseverance. And I think that's right. And I think the quote from, I think it's Habakkuk, in verse 38, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Can you believe it's been about 2 years since I first visited here? Can you believe that? My very first visit was in late 2018, came back with the family in January 2019. Almost 2 years. When we came back as a family, I taught on this, about faith. We looked at this example. What faith is. This is the exact slide from that lesson, by the way. Faith from the Latin fides, or fidelity. The most famous fidelity that we have, the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Could also be translated as loyal. Loyalty and faithfulness are very importantly linked. I think that's why you sometimes talk about husbands and wives being faithful or being loyal. The Marine Corps and we should have that same idea. We should, God says the Lord's army, well, maybe we should take it one step further. The Lord's Marine Corps, always faithful. Be always faithful. And there's one of the things, we talk about the Greek word pistis as translated faith. It doesn't just mean faith. This is one of the more complex words, and it has a lot of different ideas. And this is just the big ones. There's other ideas that faith, the Greek word pistis, it is. Its primary meaning is trust in others, but it's also persuasion or confidence. We saw that brought out in Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. And some Bibles in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. Persuasion, confidence, assurance of a thing. This is almost like evidence. Trustworthiness, and that's where we're getting our faithful idea from. Trustworthiness or honesty. That's what. Then you have that which gives persuasion or confidence. This up here. This would be the evidence. And then the means of persuasion, argument, or proof. That which is entrusted, a trust. I heard somebody say a long time ago, or maybe I read it, that sometimes a word in Greek is chosen not because of a specific idea that it has, but because it has several different ideas attached to it to give a full scope of meaning. And I think a lot of the New Testament, we miss out on a lot of the depth of this word faith. For example, Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as I think about how is faith evidence or conviction of things not seen? Well, what if it's not our trust in God? That's the second part of that. I think the first part of that, faith is trusting in God, is the assurance of things hoped for. But our faithfulness is the evidence of our hope of things not seen. James talks about faith that is without works is dead. And what does Paul say about that? Or James say about that? Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. And I've been wondering for a while if that's what the Hebrew writer is intending to mean here. That faith is not just our trust in God, it's also our evidence of our faithfulness to God, linking it with what James says. But I want to focus on this idea specifically tonight, just trustworthiness. Trustworthiness is what the lexicon says. But we would put it in terms of faithfulness. Faithfulness. And that's a noun. And that's this Greek word here is a noun. And so we have a couple of places where, as an adjective, it's used as the term faithful. For example, the parable of the three servants in Matthew 25. One is given five talents, one is given two, and one is given one. Remember what he says the first two servants. Well done, good and faithful servants. The adjective form of faithfulness, of pistis. Well done, good and faithful slaves. He knew that they would be faithful, or expected them to be faithful. They would have enough faithfulness, that they were trustworthy to be given this responsibility. Another place that kind of relates to this, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. Some of your translations may even say faithful, that they be found faithful or trustworthy. This is the New American Standard. Whenever the New Testament says God is faithful, guess what word it's using? This exact same word, this adjective form. Faithfulness, this is the same idea. There's only a few places in the New Testament where the word is not translated somehow faith or faithfulness or trustworthy, something like that. And those aren't important right now. What is important is these verses to remind ourselves we are to be trustworthy, not just to one another, but to God. We need to prove ourselves faithful to God. And one of the ways we do that is by showing patience. So we think about this idea of faithfulness. And to me, this is one of the best examples because you have trust in others and showing yourself trustworthy in this example. This guy is reliant on everybody underneath him. But they are also relying on him not to fall off, because if he goes, probably they're all going too. There's a hand-in-hand, a working together, showing themselves faithful to one another, and also being able to have faith in one another. We have faith in God. He needs to have faith in us. And we need to show ourselves faithful to him. So we come back to this example. And again, the woman, how she persevered, demonstrated her perseverance and endurance in going to the unrighteous judge. Let's look at James chapter 1. Remember that the whole point of, or the, well, let's just read it. James 1, verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith..." Now, is this faith, our faith in God, or is this our faithfulness to God? Yes. Yeah, a lot of times I think we see phrases like this, and both ideas are intended. Because if we're not faithful to God, well, what good is our faith in? What good does it do us to have trust in God if we don't show ourselves faithful to Him? And this is one of those places. Sometimes it's not our trust in God that's being tested. Sometimes it's our faithfulness to God being tested. Especially when it comes to sin. Down in verse 12, verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is accomplished, it brings forth death." Well, if we sin, what are we not being to God? Faithful. We're not being faithful to God. And then, so the testing of our trust in God, the testing of our faithfulness to God, that is what produces the patience. That's what produces the endurance. We know we can overcome this because we've done it before. Because we've done it before. One of the things that I wanted to bring up this morning, but just didn't have the time, from Hebrews 12, that no discipline in the moment is pleasant. This is what James 1, verses 2 and 4, 2 through 4 is reminding us about, is the testing of our faith. Why? To build up our endurance, to build up our perseverance. You don't just take a recruit day one at Paris Island and send him out in the field to fight the terrorists. They have to go through a training process. And then once the Marine Corps trusts them with a certain amount of responsibility, show themselves faithful in the things they've been trained in, then they can go out and fight. Same thing happened in the Air Force, right? Air Force, you're not given more responsibility until you show that you can handle what you're given. That's also the parable of talents. You get more if you show yourself faithful in what you've been given. We see that idea played out in several places in the New Testament. But then verse 3, "Knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance." Verse 4, "Let endurance have its perfect results, so you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So we can always be faithful. There will never come a time when we will not be unfaithful to God. He will not put on us more than we can handle. Maybe you've heard that said. Well, where does that come from? Well, this is one section it comes from, but also comes from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common with man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able." Why? Because He knows that we can stand. He knows that we are able to persevere through. He knows that we are able to endure. So He won't allow it. We have another place in the New Testament we don't often think about with faith. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Matthew and Luke also record this, but don't make the point that Mark is going to reveal to us in Mark 2, starting in verse 1. "When Jesus had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that He was at home. Many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And He was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to Him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Him, and when they had dug an opening, they laid down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying." Notice who took the paralytic up. It wasn't Him. He couldn't do it. He was brought there by four men. They went up, maybe assisted by others. And they are the ones who opened the hole in the roof. And they are the ones who drop Him down. And notice what Jesus says in verse 5. "Seeing their faith," said to the paralytic. Now wait, whose faith did He see? The paralytic's? Maybe. But who are the ones doing all the effort to get the paralytic to Jesus? Those four guys. Their faith in Jesus? Sure. But also their faithfulness to their friend. Can you imagine taking your friend, you being one of those four guys? I know, man, we'll get you there. We don't know how long he's going to be here. We gotta get you to him now. We can't wait anymore. Don't worry, brother, we'll get you there. Don't worry about it. We will get you there. It's not just their trust in Jesus that he'll be healed. It's their faithfulness, loyalty to this man. Their brother, their friend, their cousin. We don't know what. These four men showed such great faithfulness, loyalty, and faith in Jesus that they persevered. Now, they could have just waited outside, but there was something different about this man that they're carrying or these men that are doing the carrying. They said, we're not waiting anymore. We're going to persevere through. We're going to not flee. We're not going to wait out here. We're going to stand our ground and stand firm and get you to him now. We will endure. We'll find a way. And they did. Some of us, one little hiccup in our morning, we're done for the day. I'm done for the day. I can't handle this. Boom, done. That's not what God expects of us. Yeah, hiccups come along. But what hiccup are we really overcoming? Some of us can't get out of, have a hard time just getting out of bed. And I'm going to complain about my ankles, or that I didn't get to sleep earlier than I did. We're supposed to persevere through trials, persevere through temptations, persevere through even obstacles, to have enough trust and faith and faithfulness to persevere, to endure. I forgot to do something back in Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Remembering that faithfulness and also trust in God is what's potentially at work here in Hebrews 11. He says in verse 2, "For by it men of old gained approval." Think about that. Let's consider verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, still speaks." Now, did Abel have trust in God? Sure. But he was also faithful to God, to offer to God what he knew God expected, unlike his brother Cain. Cain was unfaithful to God. Consider also verse 5. "By faith Enoch was taken up so he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness that before he was taken up he was pleasing to God." Verse 6. "And without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who," some of your Bibles will say, "diligently seek him." If we are faithful to God, we will have trust in God, but we will also seek him to please him. That's what Enoch did. And that's why he was found faithful. And that is why God took him. Verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence," thank you, Lord, for sending me the plans for the ark. I trust you to build it for me. Because you do everything, I do nothing. Right? You do everything for my salvation. There's nothing I need to do. Not a single thing. By faith, Noah, being warned, in reverence prepared. He obeyed. Built the ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, thank you, Lord, you've given me this land. Thank you. You'll bless my descendants. I have no children, but I know you'll do that for me. There was only one virgin birth in all history that we know of, right? That was Mary, right? So Abraham and Sarah, they still had to do something to have children, right? There was still something had to be done. And when Abraham was told, there's a land I'm going to show you, what did he do? Oh, you'll show it to me. Where's the vision? He got up and he went. He followed. Go to the land that I will show you, is what he was told. Go. So Abraham did, and he was faithful. By his faithfulness, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By his faith and faithfulness, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. We can do this through the whole chapter. We won't do it, but you could. I suggest you go through it to test it. Can you do that with the whole chapter? Remember what James said. Faith without works is dead. The entire chapter of the Hall of Faith, we call it, is faith with works. That's what it is. Trust and trustworthiness. Faith and faithfulness. I did the whole thing with Mark. It was supposed to be after the Hebrews 11 to show the perseverance and the faithfulness of those four men toward their friend and toward their God and toward Jesus. There's so much more about faith in the Bible. That's all I had prepared for tonight. So we'll just stop there. And I'll thank you again for your attention. Zach is going to lead us in this song. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. So Jesus calls, right? Oh yes, Lord, I hear. That's all that has to happen, right? Yes, I hear. We have to respond. We have to call back those... I can't remember how it goes now. Those who call on the Lord, in the name of the Lord, will be saved. We have to call back. We have to answer. And then do what he's told. Go ahead, Zach. I'm